Now, I came to North Carolina many years ago when I was a young preacher to Raleigh and Durham and one or two places. I always wanted to come down this area. And I was so glad the Lord opened up the way 2 years ago, and here I am again, turning up like a bad penny. Now, when I was a young preacher in those days, I used to take a short text and give a long sermon. Now that I'm an old preacher, everything's different. Now I take a long text and give a long sermon. He's just read the long text for us. May God bless to us His word and what we have to say about it. I remember a lot of you, at least I think I do. My memory is the thing I forget with, usually. But I sometimes say that there are three things I always forget. Names, faces, or forgotten the other thing. But we're having very good fellowship and hospitality already. And there's a list of hospitality on the notice board for us. I don't know how we're going to cope with all this. And I'm sure we shall enjoy it anyway. Brother Lee, in his opening prayer, I think was trying to find out from the Lord whether we give hospitality in England or not. Well, we do. Sometimes. And you can all come. You can all come. And you can all come to our house. But don't all come at once. We wouldn't know what to do with you. I suggest, instead of that, you just send Brother David and his wife as the two spies spied out Canaan. I'm not suggesting England's Canaan, of course. Best world country in the world, no doubt. But I wouldn't say it's Canaan. I wouldn't go that far. But send them as spies, you know, like Joshua and Caleb. We'll call David Joshua and his wife Caleb. That's nearer to a lady's name. And send them as spies, and we'll entertain them in our home, and they'll probably speak in our assembly and other places around, and then they can tell you, and you can all come. No doubt we should be dead by the time you've all arrived, but you have to put up with that. Well, now, thank God for His word tonight. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Master. Excuse me saying Master instead of Master. I haven't quite got round to that, but now and again you may find during my message I will arise to these giddy heights of Americanism and say Master. You never know. I'm almost American, just half and a half. You will probably know a verse of scripture in Philippians 4 and 13 where it says, where Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Another version puts it this way, I am master of every situation in Christ, through Christ, who makes me strong. Why is the Apostle Paul, why was the Apostle Paul the master of every situation? Because he was joined to Jesus, who had always proved himself to be the master of every situation. And here in our scripture portion this evening, there are four situations into which the Lord Jesus, the mighty Son of God, our Savior, comes with His touch, with His power, with His grace and kindness and love. And although they were difficult situations, He was sufficient, He was enough for every one of them. There was the disciples who were in fear and jeopardy in the storm on the Sea of Galilee. And the Lord Jesus got into control of things and proved himself to be the master of despair. And then there was the man who was naked in the tombs And he was creating havoc for himself and everybody else until Jesus came. And he proved himself to be the master of the devil as well as of despair. And then there was the woman who had a disease for many years and couldn't get rid of it, no matter what she did. But Jesus came her way and proved himself to be the master of disease. And there's one disease we're going to talk about especially that we're all acquainted with in our lives. But he's enough for that as well. And then there was the girl who lay a dying at the age of 12 and then died. And they said to the father, "Don't trouble the master anymore. She's dead." Then Jesus came and proved himself to be the master of death as well. I am master of every situation through Christ who makes me strong. And we are talking about the Almighty Christ, the Son of God with power, who should be your own personal Lord and Savior. Notice the idea of faith and believing in these stories. You remember the Lord Jesus said to the disciples in the storm on the sea, "Where is your faith?" And you remember he said to the woman with the disease, "Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace." And he said to Jairus and his wife, "Believe only, have faith only, and your girl shall be made whole." Now, of course, it's not faith in the abstract that gets you anything at all. Or saying, "I have faith." What do you mean, "I have faith"? What have you got faith in? We want to know. And when the Lord Jesus said to the disciples on the ship, they thought was going down with them in it, "Where is your faith?" He didn't want to know whether they got any or not. He knew they had faith. He didn't want to know where they were keeping their faith, in their heads or their hearts or their boots. He wanted to know in what or in whom they were putting their faith. "What are you trusting in?" he was saying. "Where is your faith? If only your faith had been in me instead of in one another and your marvelous experiences as fishermen and rowers, if it had only been in me instead of in your boat and your ability, there would have been no despair." They were filled with despair. They said, "Master, Master, we perish." And he said, "Where is your faith? You won't perish if your faith is in me. But if your faith is not in Christ," I'm talking to you now, "if your faith is not in Christ, you will. For God so loved the world that he gave his only, his unique Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So there arose a great storm, and he arose, and there was a great calm. He is the master of despair because he is the Prince of Peace. He is the master of the devil because he is the Son of God. And you know why he's the master of that dreadful disease called sin? Because he is the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world, and is the master of death because he is the life of God. That divine life, the life of God personified. But notice the Lord Jesus was in the boat. These two things are essential to have the Prince of Peace bringing peace to us in our lives, to chase away the gloom and despair. The master of despair can only work in our lives when he's in the boat, when he's in the life. Did you take him in? But notice, although he was in, they were still in despair because they hadn't put him in control. There are lots of Christian people who receive Jesus into their lives, but they don't give him the control of things. And they're in despair. Where the Prince of Peace reigns, where he is in control, there is always peace. One of these days, Jesus shall reign where'er the sun doth his successive journeys run. His kingdom shall stretch from shore to shore till moon shall wax and wane no more. And his reign, forever, will be a reign of peace. And 1,000 years is just the vestibule of his eternal reign of glorious divine peace. So he must not only be in the boat, but in control. And when he arose, there arose a great calm. Talking about he must be in. There was a young lady in England who got married. Unfortunately for her fiancé, her bridegroom, she wasn't very domesticated. But she did her best, and they struggled on for a few weeks. And then he said to her one Wednesday, he said, "I'm coming home for lunch today, Mary." Say Mary. And "I'm looking forward to a nice lunch." And he said, "I'll be home at 1:45. Now, she made up her mind she was going to do her level best to give him a nice lunch. But as you can imagine, that morning, everything went wrong. There was no pressure in the gas to start with. Very unusual in Britain, but it happened then. I better explain that to you. And she fell over the cat and sprained her ankle. Having sprained her ankle, she dropped some of the crockery. And that splintered and broke. And there were so many callers at the door, she just couldn't get on. She, you know what she did? She sank in an armchair and buried her head in her hands and wept heartily. If you can weep heartily. And just then, while she was weeping, there came another ring at the doorbell. So she dried her tears and went to the doorbell. To the door, and she found out that the person ringing the bell was a little boy in red. He was about 15. He'd got his little red motorbike with him, and he got a little red envelope in his hands, and he was a telegram boy. He'd come from the post office with a telegram. And she quickly read the telegram and said that her mother was coming. She said, "Good." And then she said, "Oh dear, I don't suppose she'll come in time to help me anyway." And she was still in despair. But great to her delight, at 11:45, the doorbell rang again and she went and met her mother there. Do you think she kept her mother outside? No fear, she brought her right in through to the kitchen. And she gave her mother control of things in the kitchen. And everything was, and she found rest in her mother's capabilities too. And everything was all right for 11:45. If you let the Lord Jesus in, and he's the only Savior of your soul, if you let him in and then give him the full control of your life, you'll find peace and rest in his sufficiency. He's the Almighty Christ. He's the one who indwells us by his Spirit when we trust him, and he brings peace to our troubled hearts. He's not only the master of despair, as I said, but he is the master of the devil. This man was in Satan's clutches. In the Authorized Version it says, he had devils long time. Well, I would crossed the S off and said he had the devil a long time, or else I would change the word to what it should be. He had demons long time. There's only one devil and many demons. But these demons, they really worried this man. He was a plague to himself and to everybody else as well. And please notice that the devil had his way with this man until Christ came. And the demons knew who Christ was, the Son of God. You say you believe in God? Well, so do they, the demons. And they know that Jesus is the Son of God. We have to receive him into our hearts and into our lives for ourselves. Notice here, the demons knew the Lord Jesus. Three ideas here. Here's our Lord's availability. He went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man who had demons a long time. Not only his availability to all and sundry like you and me, but his authority is acknowledged by the man with the demons, and they call out through him, Jesus, thou Son of God, most high. And notice his adequacy. He was enough for them. He commanded the unclean spirit or spirits to come out of the man. There was the master's deity seen so clearly. The man's liberty brought about by the master of the devil. But there was also the multitude's tragedy. Did you notice that? The people came to Jesus when they saw this man sitting, not writhing and raging, but sitting, clothed, and in his right mind. I've just come to my right mind now. I've got to switch this on, they tell me. I should never remember. One brother, by the way, was preaching, and he was using one of these things, and one of these things, and one of those things. And his voice didn't seem to come through very well. And he wasn't getting any liberty with his message. So he said to one of the elders, his brother, he said, what's the matter tonight? He said, don't worry, Mr. Preacher. Don't worry, he said, it's just that there's a screw loose in the speaker. Well, I do hope and pray that's not the problem this evening. But the tragedy was, these people said, Jesus of Nazareth, we don't want you here. They saw the man sitting clothed and in his right mind, delivered and set free. And they turned the Savior out. Why did they do that? It was economics. They joined the rat race. They were losing some of their income. The dollars were fleeing away from them. Because the demons from this man went into their swine. And these pigs ran down a steep slope into the sea and were choked. And they said, Jesus, go! We lost our pigs. John Oxenham has put it this way. Rabbi, be gone. Thy powers bring loss to us and ours. Our ways are not as thine. Thou lovest men, we swine. Oh, get thee gone, omnipotence, and take this fool of thine. His soul? What care we for his soul since we have lost our swine? The Christ went sadly. He had wrought for them a sign of love and tenderness divine. They wanted swine. Christ stands without your door and gently knocks.
But if you're gold or swine, the entrance blocks, he forces no man's hold. He will depart and lead you to the treasures of your heart. Tragedy. Jesus went away. Now, of course, these disciples in the storm, they represent the spirit of veritable helplessness. But the Lord Jesus got into control. He helps the helpless and is the master of despair. The man in the clutches of Satan represents the spirit of violent self-destruction. This is abroad in the world today. You have a lot of it in the States. We have a lot of it in England. The spirit of violence and lawlessness and self-destruction. Why, the country's full of it. Somebody told me yesterday they think that America's going to come to naught through internal chaos and self-destruction. Because it's not mentioned in a prophetic word. That may be correct. But you know what I mean. And it's the Lord Jesus you want in your life. He will set you free, and only he can. If the Son of God shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Then there was this woman with this disease, and this represents the spirit of vain self-effort. She had been trying to make herself better, I suppose, as anybody would. And she was getting worse. Been to all the doctors, spent her money. Was getting poorer and poorer. And I think she must have been giving up. And then one day, she heard a rumor. Somebody said to her, "Mary, have you heard about Jesus of Nazareth?" She said, "No. I don't know what to do." "Well, you should try and find where he is. He will help you." She said, "No. Who is he?" "Well," her friend said, "Mary, the rumor is that he is one of the prophets come back from the dead. And he's working miracles." She said, "I don't believe it." And she was in despair. And somebody else came one day and said, "Mary, have you heard it? It's wonderful. Have you heard?" She said, "What?" "Have you heard that John the Baptist has come back to life? He's got his head back on his shoulders and he's working miracles. And he's Jesus of Nazareth." She said, "I don't believe it." And she was still in despair. Then one day somebody came and said, "Mary, listen to this. This is good news for you. That Jesus of Nazareth isn't one of the prophets, or John the Baptist got his head back. This is none other than the Messiah, the Christ, the Savior of the world. Is he? Is this right?" she would say to her friend. And she makes up her mind as she walks away and goes to her own home, that if ever Jesus came her way, she would do something to show that she believed in Jesus. And she went into her home saying, "I believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus." She walked out the back door and she said, "I believe in Jesus." She came back into the kitchen and she said, "I believe in Jesus. And if ever he comes this way, I shall do something to show that I really believe in Jesus." And Jesus was passing by. And she said to herself, "I'm not going to let anybody in that great big crowd hinder me from getting at Jesus. I'm speaking it in clear English so you can understand the message." She said, "Nothing and no one will hinder me. I'm going to push through the crowd, and I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to touch the hem of his garment just to show that I believe in Jesus." And that's what she did.
And after a minute or two, the Lord Jesus turned round and said, "Who touched me?" And the Lord and the disciples, they said, "Master, that's ridiculous. Who touched you? The multitudes are thronging you. And you say, who touched me?" He said, "Listen, you disciples. Somebody, some person has touched me, because power has gone from me and they are saved. Who touched me?" And she came trembling. And her heart was beating fast. She said, "I did, sir." And she opened her heart and told him all her story. He's very patient, you know, the Lord Jesus. You tell him all your story. Tell him all about your sins and your struggles. You tell him how you tried to save yourself for years and it didn't come off. She opened her mouth and told him everything, and he listened to every word. That's just like the Savior. He'd be very patient with you. You get on your knees tonight and tell him everything. Make up your mind to tell him everything. And confess your sin to God tonight. And own Jesus as your Savior and Lord. Do you know what he said to this poor woman? She wasn't poor any longer. He said, "Daughter, thy faith has saved thee." That is, thy faith in me. Or was it in the garment that she touched? You know, if she had touched that garment 22 times, without faith in Jesus, she wouldn't have got saved. If we had the garment of Christ preserved down through the ages, and we got it all nice, starched and ironed and brought in clean, and I draped it over the podium here as carefully as we could, and you all came forward and touched it 33 times each before you went home, it would make no difference to you at all. It wasn't her faith in the garment. It wasn't her touching the garment. It was her faith in Christ that saved her. Faith in the abstract won't get you anywhere, but faith in Christ will get you to heaven. And nothing that defileth shall ever enter there. One man was laying a new drive to his garage. And he was laying the concrete. He was very fond of the children next door. And he was always having a nice game with the children next door. He must have been a nice kind of man. But when he laid this concrete down, and the children came playing around, they got in the concrete. Oh dear, did look a mess. And he got so annoyed, and he really told them off. You know what I mean? So his wife came out to see what the noise was about. She says, "I thought you liked the children." He says, "I like children in the abstract, but not in the concrete." There's no good you saying, "I've got faith." That won't get you anywhere at all. But if you put faith in...